The Truth News Network. The weather outside may be frightful, but he's blowing away the snow for a clear path to the truth. Dan Newman.
It's kind of chilly where I am. I guarantee you, though, it's frigid at the Pelosi home in Washington, D.C. House Speaker Pelosi got a double dose of nastiness in the last couple of days. She was irritated, and that's putting it mildly, at the State of the Union address by President Trump on Tuesday night. And then yesterday in the Senate chamber, President Trump was acquitted on both of the impeachment charges against him. So I think it's safe to say Ms. Pelosi's not having a really good week. Would you say so? Let's talk about impeachment. Maybe just this one last time. What you didn't hear in the impeachment trial is deafening. Oh my gosh, you're saying. Dan is going conspiracy theorist. Absolutely not. I promise at the end of this chat today, you'll understand one huge thing, Trump pun intended, one huge thing going on today and has been for decades that has been and still is being hidden from Americans. There are many apparent things. Political parties are partisan. Mainstream media anchors, reporters, directors, and producers are all leftist. They all shape their news using that perspective. Democrats not only hate Republicans in government, but now it's been revealed they also hate American voters who support Republicans. Do I need to keep going? Probably not. But this impeachment trial has shown a light on the U.S. political process that has been purposely kept secret for many years. Why is that? Many in government know that Americans would, if they knew, demand explanations along with answers, then research the sources of those things and all those involved, and would issue a collective gasp of horror along with millions of other Americans as the revelations unfold. Democrats slipped a bit during impeachment, and Americans, to Democrats' horror, saw just some of the truth that we're talking about today. So what have we missed? Well, first, we've stated here multiple times that the objective for 100% of operations in Washington is the quest to achieve power and a quest to maintain political power. Obtaining unfettered power is the result of every political dream dreamed by almost every politician and deemed, for sure, all Democrats. With power, politicians can control every aspect of the U.S. government. The Democrat Party is watching in shock as its power is being sucked away by a man they laughed at, they ridiculed, they threatened, they investigated, they blackmailed, and now impeached him because of the all-consuming fear that drives them. Without their political power, they can no longer control Washington nor their own political fates. That cause was the cause of the Mueller investigation, obstruction of justice investigation, Ukraine gate, and even the alleged emoluments clause violations against the president. Democrats awakened one day and realized, hey, Donald Trump is president, and he has promised to retake all of our power. We cannot let that happen. Without that power, they're unable to control either House of Congress. Congress controls everything. They could not continue the Obama plan to stack federal courts with judges who would no longer interpret laws based on the Constitution. They need judges that make laws from the bench. To make matters worse, they knew that the stranglehold they had on the media would probably not sustain a Trump onslaught like they knew he would initiate. Democrats must have that unfettered ability to control their minions with information. Information that must saturate the minds of all Democrats 24/7 to, as best as possible, guarantee their party loyalty and commitments to the Democrats. Donald Trump was so simple, so brutally honest, and so competent at messaging in a blue-collar format, they knew he was the one politician they had not anticipated. They watched him in the 2016 election, but they thought, surely, he can never win. He can't beat Hillary Clinton. Further, they saw the fear of losing everything was about to happen. Here's something you probably didn't think about. Rhinos are real. You know what rhinos are. R-I-N-O stands for Republican in name only. Rhinos kept hidden for decades the fact that they are not actually conservatives. They're more like Democrats than are many Democrats. Rhinos, as a rule, support bigger government, higher taxes, more government control. Taxes go along with that, so they have to raise taxes, and undoubtedly, they have massive government spending, which they revel to control. Why the spending? What could be a better tool to control an electorate than having the ability to write blank checks for health care for the poor, welfare benefits, unemployment benefits, and other types of government assistance? Just follow the money if you want to find the source of power. They didn't want for you and me to know this. Listen to this. 10 states now have more people on welfare than they do that are employed. I'm going to say that again. 10 states now have more people on government welfare, that's federal tax dollars for welfare, than they have employees in their states. Those states, California, New Mexico, Mississippi, Alabama, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, New York, Maine, and South Carolina. Let me ask you this. Is it believable that any member of Congress, especially Republican members of Congress, would support any legislation or policies which support statistics that prop up those 10 states having more on welfare than are employed? Why didn't Bush 43, who had terrific relationships with the leaders of Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, and other Central American countries, he made no serious attempts to tackle our failed immigration system? Why was he okay with illegals? Any illegals entering our nation from the South? The only explanation that makes any sense is this. If all of this information was made public and grassroots Americans knew this was happening and that any Republicans has supported legislation or policies that facilitated it, their stays in Washington on our payroll would be term limited by voters. Their quest, the quest of rhinos, is to maintain the status quo. And so what about fear? Obviously, fear has got to play a big role in all this, right? House Speaker Pelosi did not tear up the script of the President's State of the Union address out of anger. She did so in what was purely a fit of fear. You may not know this, but her entire adult career has been in politics. She's from a Baltimore politically connected family, and I know everybody thinks she's from California. Not so. Her husband, Paul Pelosi, is. How connected was her Baltimore family? Her father was a longtime mayor of Baltimore, and then later, her brother. That's right. From a very young age, she watched how politics, structured for the benefit of politicians first and constituents second, is structured to put and maintain parties of every kind in control. Nancy's Baltimore party of concern about control? The Democrat Party. She knew that the unifying political factor that perpetuated control over a city, a state, or even a country is power. She carried that with her to the West Coast and has worked it to perfection. She has guided the political ship of benefits to favor her family and her closest political allies. She and husband Paul are worth close to $200 million, and that didn't come from a House of Representatives salary, I promise you. She even had a federal law named after her that exists because of her greed for power and money, and how she and her husband Paul put that greed to work for him. It's called the Pelosi Rule. She had used pending legislation for her husband and herself that nobody else knew about to parlay business decisions using that insider information to make millions. And she got busted. Pelosi is far from alone in all this. Most members of Congress leave Congress in Washington as multimillionaires who each have the dream of largesse that is fulfilled during or shortly after completion of their civil service. But now, all that wealth and power is in jeopardy. In jeopardy at the hands of an NBC reality show mogul. And they're scared to death. Donald Trump doesn't care who they are, who they know, how much power they have, or how much wealth they have either. Mr. Trump not only painted the picture of his 100% commitment to American citizens during his campaign, but he also has, since his election, shown them his commitment. Big difference. Talk big, but do it big. His message? Americans come first. They come before those in Congress. They come before illegal immigrants, those who lobby from massive office centers on K Street. And they come before me, the president said. My commitment is to American workers. You know what? That shouldn't intimidate politicians. They've dealt with others who make these promises when campaigning. But Donald Trump is the very first politician in my lifetime, and in the lifetimes of most of those politicians in Washington, that actually fulfills his commitment in every area, or is still trying to. Washington establishment politicos are deathly afraid for all that they have accumulated in every aspect of their lives to be ripped away by this U.S. president that actually prefers average Americans over the politically elite. And they're afraid. You know who Van Jones is? He's a CNN commentator, a very far left individual. He has verbally supported near communist causes in the past, in fact. He explained to his fellow CNN political pundits after the State of the Union address what was happening between Donald Trump and African Americans during that speech. Here's what Jones says, talking about the president and what was in his speech. What he was saying, Jones said, to African Americans can be effective. You may not like it, but he mentioned HBCUs. That stands for Historically Black Colleges and Universities. Our black colleges, Van said, have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones. He talked about school choice. Jones then tweeted this to his Democratic colleagues. He said this, "Wake up, folks. The number one Iowa caucus was a debacle followed by a strong hashtag SOTU, State of the Union address, laying out Trump's strategy to win, which includes going for black voters. This was a warning shot from the Trump campaign to liberals, and we need to take this very seriously to win." They're afraid. Remember Serpent Head from the Bill Clinton administration? He's a loud and obnoxious Democrat who was known for merely saying what he thinks. I mean, everything he says. And he screams and he hollers. After the State of the Union address, he said this, "It matters who the candidate is. It matters what a party chooses to talk about," Carville shouted. He said, "I'm 75 years old. Why am I here doing this? Because I am scared to death. That's why. Let's get relevant here, people, for sure." He continued slapping Democrats in the face with a harsh reality. He asked this, "Do we want to be an ideological cult, or do we want to have a majoritarian instinct to have the majority party?" He continued, "You and I know that 18% of the country elects 52 senators, he said, addressing Claire McCaskill, former senator from Missouri. "The urban core is not going to get it done. What we need is power. Do you understand? That's what this is about." They're afraid, folks. What's the big kahuna, the 900-pound gorilla in the room? There's one undergirding issue that is effectively driving the vehicle of Washington designed to perpetuate political power for generations to come. What is that fuel? It's votes. You got to have votes constitutionally in our republic to get power. They know the Electoral College will never be eliminated. It would take a constitutional amendment, which is about as easy to pass and enact as it is to get Adam Schiff to tell the truth. In other words, it ain't going to happen. Getting Adam Schiff to tell the truth isn't going to happen either. So what else can they do? Immigrants. Their voting constituents are discovering that the Democrat Party is the Wizard of Oz. They promise, "We have all the power to give you anything and everything you want. We're wizards. All you got to do to qualify is join us. Do exactly what we tell you to do, and don't ever ask questions. We'll tell you how to vote, and we'll tell you for whom to vote. In return, we'll make sure you have income sufficient to support your family, free medical care, free school, and preference here in America for anything else that you may want. We'll always put you at the front of the line." One of the biggest slip-ups of the Democrats has been revealed during the Trump presidency. That's all the ploys to keep our southern border open, to keep the flow of illegals coming into the country, where, in return for lifetime income and benefits for their entire families, Democrats are going to own their votes. We've talked about that plenty of times here. That's their plan to save their party. Not with legislation for the people, not with working with fellow legislators to forge great international partnerships for the sole purpose of improving life for Americans. not to create jobs for Americans, not for equal and fair pay with benefits for Americans, just to fuel the fires of power and protection of their status. That's all the fuel they have in their engine. All of the above explains why Nancy tore up that Trump speech. You know, I'm just thinking about this. I wish I could have gotten my hands on that speech that she tore up and laid on that dais there. Can you imagine what I could get for that on eBay? That would be a historical piece that will go down in the annals of American history, political history. And I doubt there'll ever be another circumstance quite like that. It's going to be a one of a kind. Maybe you can find it. Let me know if you can. I'll bet Nancy's insides are boiling today. She knew impeachment would not work and certainly would not pass in the Senate, but she had to succumb to the pressure of the far left in her party who threatened to have her removed as speaker. She didn't. Rhinos desperately wanted President Trump gone so they could comfortably reboard the power train full of both Democrats and fellow rhinos with which they had become very comfortable. Who's the number one rhino in Congress today? Think about that for a second, and I'll give you an answer. I'm going to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. U.S. Senator from Utah, Mitt Romney. He's the only Republican in the House or in the Senate that voted for impeachment and to remove President Trump from office. Let's just go ahead and summarize all the things in impeachment that you haven't thought about or haven't put as a probable reason for it to happen. None of the desired achievements wanted by Democrats, by rhinos, and others of those in Washington and government are possible with Donald Trump at the helm. They can't get it done. He's got the keys to the car. That's why Nancy tore up the Trump speech. They've discovered that President Trump, the consummate dealmaker from Queens, where deals are made verbally about millions of dollars every day, will never bargain away anything that belongs to American citizens. And he refuses to give in, even in the face of being removed from office. Folks, there's no doubt about it. He talked about making us number one while he campaigned, but he has proven again and again and again in 3+ years, we really are number one in his book, and he's in the White House because of us and because of what he is doing for us, not just a few, for every American. Impeachment was not about Donald Trump. Impeachment was not about any wrongdoing on his part. Impeachment was not about the U.S. Constitution. Impeachment was not about the rule of law. Impeachment was not about the president's abuse of power or obstruction of Congress. Impeachment was about one and one thing only. Washington politocrats of both parties must find a way to rid their world of Donald Trump because he knows who they are, he knows how they work, and he knows what their intentions are regarding governing us. President Trump not only knows all this, but he is also committed to taking the keys to the government away from these Washington politocrats, these deep state monsters, and return the keys to the rightful owners, United States Americans. It's our government, folks. It's not theirs. And he's getting it back to us. Kind of call what he's doing a repossession of something that rightfully belongs to someone else. And it belongs to you and me. I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure you didn't think about all of these things during this impeachment debacle that we've endured for now 130-something days. I know that seems like a long, long, long time, but the Clinton impeachment took years, folks. We're fortunate that this thing from start to finish only consumed from September through Tuesday of this week. That's amazing in itself, but that's another reason why we're having this conversation today. Though impeachment is over, Democrats are not done, I promise you. He's messed with their gravy train, and they're going to do anything and everything they can come up with to mess him up in any way. They don't want him in the White House again for 2021 through 2024, I promise you. Hey, we don't have impeachment to talk about right now. I guess that's a good thing, but there are a lot of other things going on. We need to catch up. We'll start that tomorrow right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN.
The Truth News Network.